It's my blessing to read to you today from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be.
Will you pray with me? Almighty God, we thank you for this beautiful story and for the opportunity to discover it once more. God, as we talk about the joy of this season and the joy of your presence with us, we ask that your Holy Spirit would move among us. Lord, speak a word to us in this moment, that we may leave this place even more aware of your presence than when we entered it. Amen. Over Thanksgiving, I had the opportunity to visit for several days with my two nieces. I also happened to see the rest of my family, but I mean, who really cares about them? My oldest niece is 3 years old now, and her name is Emma Grace. Her favorite game over Thanksgiving was Lava Monster Hide and Seek. For the uninitiated, it's hide and seek, except for the seeker, when they open the door, roars like a lava monster, and she shrieks that she was found. The trick to Lava Monster Hide and Seek is that whether Emma is hiding or seeking, the only place that you are allowed to hide is in the closet under the stairs. Yeah, well, when us adults suggested maybe she hides somewhere else, she looked at us so confused and she said, "No, no, no, in the closet." Like it was the most obvious thing in the world and we were missing the whole point of it. And you know what? Maybe we were. Because don't you know, no matter how many times I opened the same closet door, she shrieked with just as much joy that she was found. While we were doing this, I took to making it a little game for myself since I was opening the same closet door again and again. And before I did it, I would call out, "Maybe she's under a blanket. Maybe she's hiding in the fridge." And she would giggle. But if I went on too long, I could hear her start to jump up and down in the closet, and she would say, "No, no, no, Lauren, I'm in the closet." And even when I needed all of her help to find her, she never ceased to just be filled to the brim with joy that she was part of the story. Because it's Christmas, we get the opportunity to experience that joy again because we are part of God's story. That's what the scripture is all about. It's an invitation from God to come and see this marvelous thing that the Lord has done. We are invited to worship God in the highest and to help the shepherds declare peace to all on whom God's favor rests. So today with the shepherds, come and see, whether it's for the first time or the 100th time, come and see this remarkable and bizarre thing that the Lord has done. Because in case the scripture of shepherds and fields and choirs of angels is too familiar to you, let me remind you that it is bizarre, isn't it? We have shepherds in a field and choirs of angels announcing the birth of Jesus Christ. This is the first time that that news has been shared outside of the Holy Family, and yet it's done in a field? If that doesn't seem odd to you, let me put it this way. Let's take last week's cantata, the full orchestra, the entire choir that was up here, the choir of children that sat over there, the bell choir, and let's drive them off to a mostly abandoned field and have them play the whole cantata there. Isn't that bizarre? And yet that's exactly what God chooses to do. And the manner in which God tells the world the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ is so important. In fact, I think that the way God chooses to tell the world about Jesus is almost as important as the message itself. The way that we announce news matters. I would know. At the time of Jesus, announcements were a really big deal. People were used to hearing grand royal announcements of kings, whether it was the end of the war or the birth of a new baby or a new law coming around. Royal announcements had a set way to go. A herald would be sent to the most important cities. They would blow trumpets and announce in the street. They would mint special coins so that the message was even in the daily currency. If it was a really big deal, they would erect a temple or a monument with inscriptions upon it. So there was a way that these things were announced. We know this because in the same year that Jesus was born, Emperor Augustus put out this announcement on the event of his own birthday, where he declares that he is like providence because he is as a savior, both for us and for our descendants, that he might end war, and that the birthday of the god Augustus was the beginning of the good news for the world. Now, this is the king of Rome putting out a message just about himself on his birthday, because he's feeling himself. And notice the language that he says. He says he is a savior come to bring good news. Now that language should sound familiar after the scripture you just heard. And that's because the need for a savior was not unique to the Jewish people. In Roman times, people were looking for a savior, someone who would bring peace and prosperity. And Roman kings promised to do that. And you know what? They did a very good job of uniting empires, but they did it through a process of violence and war and oppression. Yet it is worth noticing, despite all the work that the Roman Empire does, all the grand proclamations of the Emperor Augustus, very few of us sitting here today could tell you anything important Augustus did. Now, some of you are history buffs, and you already know what I'm about to say. But Emperor Augustus was, in fact, one of the most successful emperors in the Roman world. He ruled for 45 years, and he had the grand distinction of ending a civil war when he defeated Mark Antony and Cleopatra. When we say it like that, that's a really big deal, and yet none of us think about that in our daily lives. That's because peace and joy are not secured in grandeur. Joy is found in the simplest of places. This scripture of shepherds and angels announces God's own Son, a Savior for the world, who will bring good news, great joy, and peace to the people. The message is so similar to what earthly kings are promising, and yet the delivery is so different. God chooses this nomadic people called shepherds who are hard to find. Because they live in a desert area, the shepherds are constantly on the move. They have to move from area to area to find new grazing lands for their sheep and to avoid predators. Their life leaves them on the outside of society, both them and their families, because shepherding wasn't just the job of the men that we put in our nativity scenes. It was also a role that their wives and their children came along for. And so God takes this good news of great joy, and he brings it to the simplest family and meets them in their daily life. God is announcing here the very thing that Roman emperors had been promising to do for generations, and yet no special coins are minted, no heralds are sent out, no grand monuments are erected. God offers peace and joy, and it is offered through love and mercy. The difference between the power of the King of Kings and the power of the kings of the world is not just a matter of amount. The scripture today reminds us that God's power is fundamentally different than the power of the world. God could have chosen the most important people to declare this message to, but God chooses shepherds. Shepherds are, of course, a wonderful part of our biblical tradition from Old Testament to New Testament. Jesus himself is called the Good Shepherd, and there would be a whole different sermon series to talk about why shepherds are so important in the Bible. But because it is Christmas, it is sufficient enough that the shepherds remind us today that even for the birth of God's own Son, God recognizes the position of shepherd as worthy to witness the good news of God. Isn't that remarkable? God reigns so differently than the kings of the world. We are already seeing today in this shepherd scripture the kind of king Jesus will turn out to be, because he is the kind whose birth is announced to shepherds with just as much grandeur and fanfare as if it was announced to the highest of people. Because it's Christmas, I want you to remember the joy God brings to God's people. Not because there is a little baby in the manger and we all love little babies. Jesus brings joy to the world because he comes and finds us to give us joy in the daily parts of our lives. Like a child who's delighted to be found behind a closet door, no matter how many times it's opened, you and I get the grand joy of being found by God, no matter how many times we hide in the darkness. God's joy always opens the door to welcome us back into the story. We might think that the moments where heaven meets earth are reserved just for the holiest of places and people. But in announcing the birth of Jesus, which is arguably just one of the most wonderful times that heaven comes to meet earth, God chooses a stony, hilly field as the place where heaven will meet earth. Not the temple, not the synagogue, not a perfectly decorated home with everything in order. God finds us in our daily lives, whatever they look like. Friend, God wants you to be part of the story. God has invited you to hear the good news. God has promised you joy and peace. God has beckoned you to come and see this wonderful thing that the Lord has done. Pastor Tom said a couple of weeks ago that he doesn't trust churches or Christians who aren't joyful, and I know what he means, because joy is not dependent upon circumstance. Not true joy. Not the joy of Jesus Christ. Our shepherds today, their whole livelihood, their whole circumstance is dependent upon those sheep in the field. And yet they walk away from the task of shepherding because they have been given the opportunity to be part of something so wonderfully big as to be part of the plan of God. They walk away from it all. So joy is clearly not dependent upon circumstance. Instead, joy comes because we are in on a secret. We are in on the work of God. Joy comes because we get to see the points where heaven touches earth, because we know the reign of this king is a reign of love and peace and, yes, joy. In preparing this message, I got to learn a wonderful fact about language shared with me by the other clergy, and that's that joy, rejoice, and grace all share the same root, car. To rejoice literally means to consciously be glad of the grace of God. Joy is simply grace recognized. It cannot be separated from us understanding who God is, what Jesus has done for us, and who we are in the Holy Spirit. God enters into this darkness, this human place where we feel our flaws so acutely, and God dwells with us there, offering us grace when we feel we are at our worst. That's why Christians are joyful people. We are people who are consciously aware of the grace that God has extended us. Dwell in what God has done in your life, the grace that God has shown you, and joy will come. Joy is so much closer than you think. The joy that God gives us in Christ, it is for you. We talk a lot about joy this season, and like other words we use in the church, when we use it a lot, it can kind of lose its meaning, yes? So what does it look like to have joy daily? Even when it's the 100th time you've opened the closet to find your niece, or the 50th time you've put up the tree and decorated it, what does it mean to know on a daily basis that Jesus came to bring you into the story? Because it's Christmas, be joyful. That's our sermon title today. And this certainly can be a happy kind of joy, full of tinsel and lights and everything nice. But it can also be a joy that finds you in the daily struggle of simply surviving. We just held the Darkest Night service a few days ago, and we continue to recognize that there are many for whom this season is not a happy one. Some of you may feel forgotten in the midst of joyful Christmas announcements and cards going out. Like the shepherds, you might be wandering, just looking for a place to survive today. If that is you, remember who God gave the good news to first. God chose to give that news to people outside of society, people for whom others didn't have time, people for whom social niceties didn't come easily, shepherds. They are proof that joy is for everyone. The reality is joy often happens in the lowest places of our lives. If you can tell a story of grand joy, it is because you have been somewhere low and Jesus has entered in and met you there. The joy of Christmas is that God wants you to hear the good news, to experience the love of a Savior, no matter your circumstance. Because it's Christmas, let yourself pause, even for a moment, to remember you are part of God's story and feel the joy of being invited in to love. This scripture that's up on the screen here, it is so important because the angels here are declaring a real word. When they say, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people," this has the very real effect of including the people we so often exclude, like the foreigner or the immigrant. And when the angels announce, "Today a Savior has been born to you," they truly mean that the path to life abundant has come to earth so that those who were once hopeless can know what it means to be fully alive. When the angels describe this baby as the Messiah, the Lord, they really mean that there is a king who is going to reign in a new kind of way, a way so that the needs of all are cared for, so that people who didn't know if they could pay their heat through the month are cared for because of the kingdom of God. When the angels announce the news of peace on earth, they really mean that for people who are anxious or ill, there is the assurance that this is not the end of the story. When God finds the shepherds wandering in the wilderness to bring the good news to them and invite them into the story, The story, of course, does not stop there. Some of you already know how the story goes, but some of you need a reminder, so let me tell you. The shepherds go on to Bethlehem to see this child they've been told about, and then, when they have seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They were invited into the story, and their response was to go out and then invite others back in. Joy is contagious. When I become aware of the grace of God in my life, I want to share that knowledge with others and help them see God's grace in their life. There is joy in being found in God's goodness, and there is joy in sharing God's goodness. When I play lava monster hide and seek, Emma wants me to find her, but she also wants me to hide so that I can share in her joy of being found. I want you to consider the moment when the door first swung open in your cosmic divine game of hide and seek. The first time you realized that God had come to earth for you. And what's more, that God wants you to be a part of the story. For most of us, that moment hinges on people. In fact, it might not be a moment, it might be a series of relationships over your life. For me, it was a small church in Washington State when I was 5 years old that allowed me to request the exact same hymn every single Sunday during open hymn sing, 593, Here I Am, Lord. And they sang it faithfully every single Sunday because they knew no matter how routine it was to them, for me, I was finding God, and that God was there just as much for me as God was for any adult. For me, it was the moment when I was reading Philippians chapter 2 for the 50th time, and then someone else began speaking, and I finally understood, as if hearing them for the first time, these words, that he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to, but instead gave up his divine privileges. That I understood for the first time that I was so loved by Christ, that he would surrender all of that to come and be with me. These are the moments, these and a thousand more, when I was found by God and I experienced the joy of consciously being glad of God's grace. Think of those moments in your life. You have come to faith because of someone else sharing their joy with you. So how can you share your joy with others? It doesn't have to be complicated. When I was little, my parents put out a Christmas card every year that they called the Swanson Tribune. We were a military family in pre-social media, so we moved frequently and people couldn't keep up with us. So this newsletter was how they stayed connected. They would detail everything that happened in our lives that whole year for others to hear. And now, those letters are a joy to go back through and read. But if we are not actively reviewing them, no one in my family has any idea what they say. They're like the announcements from Caesar Augustus. All the details are forgotten. But what stays is the joy that was felt when we got to address those cards or when someone picked up the phone to call us because a connection has been made. It's simply the joy of being remembered, the joy of finding a Christmas card and knowing that somebody was thinking about me. I am part of someone's story. Joy is contagious. So invite others to experience that joy this Christmas. Bake cookies, carol at their house, send a Christmas card. Invite them to Christmas Eve services. Let them know that you want them to be part of your story with God. Because it's Christmas, be joyful. This is not an admonishment to be happy in all things. In fact, some days are simply hard. And it is those days when joy has the most potential, because it is in the struggle that the grace of God is most evident. I want to leave you with a final thought, which is this. In a sermon on joy, it makes sense that I so naturally came to tell a story about a toddler in my life. When we use the word joy, a lot of us immediately think about childlike innocence. They have no responsibilities, no obligations, no problems. And while we can't go back, even at Christmas, we can learn to have a childlike faith. if we can surrender everything that we feel should be and simply allow ourselves to dwell in the grace of God, we will receive the gift of God's joy. Joy wants to be found. God is seeking you out as you wander through whatever you're going through this season. God has come to bring good news of peace and joy, not just for these big moments, but in every day of your lives. May we let ourselves experience the joy of being brought into life with God every day. And may we go from this place to invite others to experience God's grace as well. Amen.